Dwight, we thank you tonight, and we thank all of you for being present here on this beautiful, sunny summer evening. And if you hadn't looked at the weather, I'll be the meteorologist tonight and tell you that it's going to be over 100 degrees for the next 14 days, chances are. And so stay cool. Have you ever wondered about culture and about tradition? What is culture anyway? What do we mean by that? Let me give you Webster's definition. He said the shared set of beliefs or values, customs, behaviors, and everyday practices that characterizes a group of people and are passed down from one generation to the other generation. We know that we hear a lot today, actually, about the cancel culture movement. And for some reason or another, that gets involved in political situations, which it shouldn't. But it actually does. You know, you and I live in a world of cancel culture folks. They want to change everything in the world about you and everything about me. They want to change everything about the church of the living God. They want to amend what the Bible actually teaches about God and the concept of Christianity. And it really is a curse. But a lot of people want to remove it, take it away, and get rid of it. And the reason for that is that the demons are raging behind the cancel culture movement. They are doing everything in the world they can to get rid of the culture that you enjoy. Christ did not condemn tradition. You know, a lot of times we talk about tradition and we have a way of thinking that just because we've done something traditionally that it's wrong. It may not, but sometimes good to break with tradition, and that's all right too, if it's not really offensive to people. But Jesus actually condemned traditions that were vain. And when you have the world that you and I live in today, there will always be a big battle that is going on and people fighting with one another because we are Christians and a cultural world of Christianity. In the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that's what we have to do. We have to renew our mind every day and understand that if something is not culturally wrong, why are people trying to change the cultures around us? They want to cancel God's truth and God's people. They would like to stop what we're doing here tonight. And we have been doing this by tradition, by the way. The Bible doesn't say anything about the saints of God meeting on a Sunday evening. But we have traditionally done that for a long, long time. And it's a great way for us to imbibe the Word of God and to live by it. But sometimes people say, well, just because you as Christians are keeping tradition, God condemned that. But he didn't. Go back to the book of Matthew chapter 6, and you'll find where Jesus said, vain repetitions. Jesus said one time, even when we sing, we could enter into a vain worship. When we don't sing and glorify God with our voice and with our heart, and trying to bring glory and honor unto him, then our worship is something of vanity. For Christ taught in the book of Matthew 15 and verse 8, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of God." You and I must do what we can to stop cancel culture, to stop it and get rid of it. And we know that people in our world today pervert their purposes and they do not live by the Word of God. but we must continue in the faith. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20 says that. Verse 23, Paul talks about the gospel being preached in the whole known world at that time. He says, continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof Paul is made a minister. Now, thirdly, their objective with cancel culture is to silence God's teachers of the gospel. You know, I've always had a warm spot in my heart for preachers of the gospel, I guess because I'm a preacher and teacher of the Word of God. But I've always had a warm spot also for Bible school teachers who teach the Word of God, whether it's to a young class or adolescents or whether it's to adults, whoever it happens to be, to know that they are teaching the Word of Jehovah God. Now, a lot of people object to that. You watch the evening news or the morning news. You know what I'm saying is so true, and we have to stop that in order to please God. And Paul even mentions that in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 17 through verse 21. I don't know what's happening here with our color here. Ben, do you think you could... Is Ben in here? There he is. I don't know what's going on, but I'm getting ready to go everywhere preaching the word. Can you figure that one out? Okay, well, I'll just keep preaching while you work it out, Ben, okay? But anyway, you and I have to learn from the Word of God, and we have to teach it. You know, Bible class on a Sunday morning itself is a tradition. Nothing was ever mentioned in the New Testament scriptures about Bible classes. Now, we meet for Bible class every Sunday morning and on Wednesday night. A lot of times, the reason that they had services on Sunday night were for farmers and people that mended and worked on their crops in the morning, and they could have a service in which they could come on a Sunday night and enjoy the fellowship of God's people. And that's a wonderful thing, but that's not a bad tradition. But fourthly, there are a lot of people that want to destroy the Word of Jehovah. They want to eradicate it. First of all, they don't believe in it. And secondly, they think that there are a lot of people being led by that Word. And that to them, they say, well, it's culture. No, it's not a matter of culture. It is a matter of truth. And it is a matter of adherence to that which is right. There are a lot of people that would like to burn the Bible and get rid of it. They were kind of like those in the days of Jehoiakim. Remember the story how Baruch took the Word of God to Jehoiakim, and when he read it, he actually just took a penknife and started cutting away from the Word of God and got rid of it, and then he tossed it in the fire in hopes of burning it up. We have people today that want to redefine truth and silence the gospel. We cannot do that. We're not at liberty to do that. As I mentioned this morning, Revelation 22, 18 and 19 has a scathing woe against anyone who would attempt to do so. And when I think of gospel preachers, there are a lot of people that don't like preachers because they convict you of sin, as we said this morning, and they tell you the truth that is found in the Word of God. There are numerous passages in the Bible. I wish we had time to look at all of those. But then they also persecute the opposition to truth. And you know, you remember back even in the Old Testament how they persecuted the prophets, and God even warned them against doing that. And they persecuted the apostles. As a matter of fact, every one of the apostles died a martyr's death simply because they were preaching and teaching the Word of God. James, we know, was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. others were drugged through the streets of Jerusalem. And that's why we work at trying to stop cancel culture. Don't cancel it. It's not wrong. But sometimes if people don't like it, they want to marginalize the righteous as those who are extremists. Have you ever known people to talk about the far right? That's who they're talking about, is those of us who are Christians and trying to live for God and give our life to Him. There again, they marginalize us, and they think that we are extremists. We're just terrible, terrible folks. We're next to a terrorist, but that's not the case at all. They talk a lot about social justice and genuine fairness. And as I've told you before, God doesn't always have to be fair. He has every right to make decisions as to what He's going to do and what He is not going to do. And so, therefore, we have the responsibility of stopping cancel culture movements in our world. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, Paul the Apostle deals with this very same thing. And, one thing you and I need to know, and I wanted to make sure that we went through this, is the fact that you and I are in a war against Satan himself. Peter said that we need to be alert to the fact that we have an adversary who is the devil, and he is like that roaring lion who is seeking whom he may devour. The devil is trying to destroy every virtue of anything that is culturally right in your life. He is. And so, believe it or not, that battle has found its way into the Lord's church, and that's why we have so many diversions of truth, and we have people that have turned away from God. It's why people have now musical instruments in worship. And as someone asked me yesterday, they said, why do you not have musical instruments in worship? And I had to say that, first of all, the word acapella that you read in the dictionary, which you typically believe means actually to sing vocally or vocal singing, that word is defined also by Webster as, quote, as the church sang. And so that's why we sing, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The Bible says that we do all things according to the law of God, and that we sing and that we make melody in our heart to the Lord. The heart becomes the instrument. And even though there are those who take issue with that, that's exactly what God says. But we have a lot of people that need to do the very thing that we read in 1 Peter 5:8, to be sober. That means to be serious-minded. Be vigilant. Be on the watch of what is going on out in your world. For the devil is as a roaring lion. He's walking about. He's trying to catch you at a weak moment in your life. But he walks about and he's seeking, notice this, whom he can devour, not just lead astray. He wants to get rid of you, and that's what the cancel culture movement is all about. It is. And we need to make sure that we're trying to do what God has asked us to do. And let's don't let anyone cancel the gospel or cancel the preaching of the gospel or the customs that we have in the church. You know, there's so many. If you were to go down, I would challenge you to do that tonight, maybe, when you get home. It's just start making a list of the customs that we have within the church. And as I told you at the very onset tonight, it is not wrong to have customs. It is not wrong for us to have tradition. But when our traditions become vain, and by the way, that word vain actually means empty, and it means that you don't really mean what you say. You say, oh, you sing songs like, oh, how I love Jesus, and you don't love Him, and your life testifies to the fact that you don't, or you would be honoring Him with your life. That's what vanity is, and that's what Christ meant. So I hope tonight that all of us will endeavor to do the will of God. You know, these people also say peace, peace, when there is no peace. There's none. But we just have to lean upon the Lord to guide us and to direct us and make sure that our customs and our traditions never become something that is vain. I want God to know that when we worship Him here at Crockett Road, that we are sincere and when we bring our praise before God. Now, Dwight's going to lead us in another song here in just a moment. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, then I would appeal to you. This is not custom, however, and it's not culture, but it is correct. It is right that one must acknowledge his belief in Jesus and that he must repent of his sins and be baptized in order to go to heaven. Now, that's not a thing of culture or tradition. Sometimes people say, well, I guess we've just traditionally done that all these years. No, we haven't. That, my friend, is what Christ commanded in Matthew 28. And it is what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost when asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're going to sing this song of invitation that has been announced. Tonight would be a good time, wouldn't it, to become a child of God? Why not tonight, while we stand and while we sing?